May it please the Court. I'm Mike Rosenblatt, and I represent the appellant, Gail Cole, in this matter. This case was dismissed on res judicata grounds. The case before you is a false claim case. It's filed under the quitam provisions of both the Federal and State False Claims Act, and also includes two retaliation or whistleblower counts, both under the Federal and State False Claims Act. The issue before you is whether the present case is barred on res judicata grounds because of Ms. Cole's earlier filed and dismissed racial harassment case.
Well, what is she seeking by way of relief?
In the present case, she's seeking, there's two things. There's a whistleblower, the false claim counts, which in trying to get money back for the government based on the false claims submitted by the defendant to the state and the federal government under the Medicaid program. She's also trying to seek some relief for retaliation. What happened in terms of
what does that mean? Some relief.
Well, she was transferred.
What does some relief mean? Not
some monetary damages.
Some monetary damages. What is the measure of the monetary damages she's seeking for herself?
Well, that would determine based on her loss. What happened with this Ms. Cole, and I think the facts are specific, are important here. She was transferred to a different pharmacy.
So is she seeking the same damages she was seeking in her discrimination case?
No, they'd be different damages because her injury is different. The retaliation case, she's employed at the university as we speak. She's actually on medical leave, but she's employed there. She was transferred to a different pharmacy, and she was given less responsibility.
Is that an adverse action?
It is considered. We can do believe that's an adverse action, Your Honor.
Less pay?
Well, it's not less pay. She just has less responsibility, and being transferred to a different facility also caused her harm and ancillary.
Drive farther?
It's higher for her to get to and from work, and she was one of the reasons she worked for the universities. She's close to her mother, who's elderly, and she's able to take care of her. By moving her to a different pharmacy, it inhibited her ability to take care of her mother. And they knew that.
That retaliation is what the first suit was about.
So the first suit was a racial harassment case where her coworkers in the pharmacy she worked at were racially harassing Ms. Cole. That's the first suit.
But the allegations in that complaint were that the harassment was in retaliation for making the complaint about the conduct that's at issue in this case.
Well, the question should be is, what's the core of operative facts and what's the remedy? The core of operative facts in the first case is her coworkers racially harassing her. The attorney in the first case put in some allegations concerning whistleblowing and violations of the Pharmacy's Practices Act, but you can delete those in each instance and put in the date, December 2001, and the complaint is not changed in any way. The reason why they are racially harassing her isn't relevant to racial harassment.
What is she seeking by way of damages in this case?
She's seeking a percentage of the government's recovery.
No, for herself.
Damages. She's really not out of any monetary pocket damages.
So what's she seeking damages for herself for?
Individually, she's seeking damages for her being transferred to a different pharmacy and for attorney's fees and costs.
Well, is that different from the sexual harassment?
The racial harassment is different because she's...
Racial harassment?
Whatever the court determined her damage to be in under the racial harassment suit.
But look, in the racial harassment suit, she was racially harassed... Partly because of her race, I suppose. We have to show that. Partly because of that, partly because of her whistleblowing. Okay, so that's harassment. Now, when you seek these personal damages in the quitam case, does that include the harassment she experienced, or is it some other form of retaliation that happened later, or what?
Yes, it is. The harassment and retaliation are different. Harassment is her coworkers in the pharmacy she worked at racially harassing her. The retaliation is several levels up as supervisors.
They harassed her in part because of her whistleblowing, right?
That's what
it's really alleged.
That's alleged, yes.
So when you seek damages for her in this case, won't you be seeking the same harassment damages viewed as a form of retaliation for whistleblowing?
No, the retaliation in this case is her being transferred to a different pharmacy. The people who transferred her is the defendant, the supervisor, several levels up, who the authority to transfer her, they weren't racially harassing her. They decided to move her from a different pharmacy once they became aware that she was pursuing or attempting to pursue a false claim case.
Yeah, but that was known and alleged in the first case, wasn't it?
Well, the attorney
same
obviously...
Same thing had happened, that she'd been transferred, and that was one of the reasons.
Well, the first case only seeks damages for her racial harassment.
Because the whistleblowing in, too.
He does mention the whistleblowing in the first case, but
yeah,
it's only...
one of the reasons for this.
But the reason why she's racially harassed...
But had she been transferred already?
In
the first case?
I'm not sure the time when she actually got transferred to a different pharmacy, when that took place. That's not in the record, and it's not...
That could make a big difference, because it's one thing to sue on the basis of acts that... sue a second time on the basis of acts that occurred before the first suit. But if you have new acts, well, that could be quite different, right?
Right, and I think there are new acts.
You don't make anything of that in your brief, do you?
The time period?
Yes.
No, that's not in the brief. It's not in the record. I think the key, though, is that what the operative facts are. The facts are...
Yeah, but look, I don't agree with that, because it's too pat, right? You bring a case and you lose. Then you say, oh, my God, I've lost that case. Now let's see if there's some other statute that I might sue under. And you look around, you find this obscure qui tam statute. And you're off to the races. It seems to me when a person believes that, you know, he or she has been harmed, she should look around and see what all possible federal and state remedies she might have and bring them in one suit. Otherwise, you know, you have a succession of suits. You say it's a different core of operative facts, whatever that bit of jargon means. But the fact is, her whistleblowing would be bound to play a central role in her racial harassment suit, because she'd say she's being harassed because of her race, and the defendants would say, no, you were making all these dumb complaints, so yeah, I got annoyed with you, and then she'll say, weren't dumb complaints, they were good complaints because you're violating various things, so you know, it'd be a rehash. In the qui tam case, well, that's the problem.
I think the issue, though, again, was she being racially harassed because she was a whistleblower? The issue is, was she being racially harassed in the first case? Were they
sure? But whenever you have a harassment case, the defendant says, "Well, maybe there's harassment, but it wasn't because of race." And we just heard that in the last case. So then she has to come back and say, yes, it was retaliation because of race. It wasn't because I was a whistleblower, right?
Well, she's not saying she's retaliated in the first case because of her race. She's saying she was...
There's a reason for being harassed. And the defendant is going to say, well, that was maybe you were harassed, but you were harassed because you're a pain in the butt or something because you make these complaints. We constantly see that in these cases. And then she comes back and says, "No, they were solid complaints and so on, and the reason you harassed me was not that I was making stupid complaints. They were good complaints. It was my race." So the issue of the same whistleblowing issues would have come into that case if it had been tried.
Yeah, but I don't think that the reason why they're racially harassing her is relevant to the racial harassment case, because it's not a retaliation case. She's not saying she's retaliated against and being transferred in the first case. She's saying her coworkers in the pharmacy she worked at were racially harassing her, and she should get a remedy for that.
Yes, but supposing they were harassing her, why were they harassing her? You think the defendant just concedes racial harassment, or would the defendant say the reactions of the other employees, whatever they were, had nothing to do with her race?
And the defendant would try to allege that she was not racially harassed.
Right.
Not that she wasn't racially harassed, not that they racially harassed her and they had a good reason to.
She was harassed for another reason.
But that's not a defense to racial harassment.
Of course it is. look, if you argue that this person is harassed because she's black or whatever, and they say, no, if she's black, but the reason she's harassed is that she complains about other people. We had a case like that a few months ago, Filipino, and she said she was Indian. She said the Filipino nurses were harassing her because she's Indian, and Filipinos don't like Indians. And the defendant said, no, they don't. It's true, they didn't like you, and they treated you badly and said terrible things, and someone poked a scissors in your abdomen. All that happened. But the reason it happened was that you kept complaining about them to their superiors, and they didn't like that. And that defense succeeded. So similarly here, if in a discrimination case they can show that the discrimination, harassment, whatever, was on grounds unrelated to race, they have a good defense. And that's, I would assume, would have been the core of that first of her Title VII case.
Yeah, I see my time is up, Judge, but racial harassment, the first case was racial slurs, not that she was transferred because she's an African American. Her coworkers were using racial slurs against her. And I think that makes it a different factual allegation.
Okay.
I've got to ask one question before you go. I'm sorry.
Yes, Judge.
And that's on the False Claims Act. If you subtract whistleblowing and racial stuff out of that, now that you're standing, your client's standing in the shoes of the United States and Quitom, is that independent? The district court didn't address it, and I just wonder if there's still something that would not be res judicata as far as the False Claims Act exclusively.
After the district court dismissed this on res judicata grounds, the United States of America filed a motion to make sure that they weren't dismissed on res judicata grounds also. There is some issues brought up in terms of whether or not the relator is barred by res judicata when subsequently filing a false claim case. And I don't know if that really answered your question up there. It wasn't specifically addressed in the briefs, but...
I want to know what.
The question was to rephrase. You want to know whether she can...
Wait, is that still... See, that this whole thing is gone on res judicata, and I just want to know if the False Claims Act, you haven't said anything about it, is that gone too if you don't come back on the other issues? False claims has completely separate issues.
Yes, that was dismissed too by the district court. The
I
false
know.
Claims Act counts.
And I didn't see it really going into any detail about the False Claims Act. It's all about this retaliation and whistleblower and race.
Right.
False Claims Act are all about fraud and taking money they shouldn't take, and the government opted out of that, I guess.
Yeah, they declined.
So she's on her own.
That's correct.
And the question is this race judicata wipe out the False Claims Act, which seemed to be independent of that?
According to district court, it does. We don't believe it does.
Well, you didn't say much about it.
Because it's a separate, it's a clearly separate operative facts and a separate remedy. The facts of the false claim case deal with the submission of false claims by the defendant to the Medicaid program and federal and state, and deals with the electronic submission of bills. And it's totally separate in the remedy on the injury to the government, and Ms. Right. Cole somebody gets a reward from that.
All right, I'll ask the government to address it. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Before you sit down, I don't think you characterized the first suit accurately, because the complaint says that the unlawful employment practices include subjecting her to a pattern of racial harassment, including but not limited to offensive racial remarks. And then it goes on to say that she was deprived of equal employment opportunities and otherwise adversely affected because of her race and act of whistleblowing. So two causes are ascribed. And then, of course, it goes on to say the unlawful employment retaliatory practice complained of in paragraph 9 commenced after the plaintiff brought to the attention of the defendant the defendant's violation of the Illinois Pharmacy Practice Act, etc. Well, I think anyone reading that would say that a causal relation is being alleged between her whistleblowing and her injury for which she's seeking damages, which is what she's doing now.
Well, I think in the first complaint, though, the real issue is that's irrelevant irrelevant into the complaint. She could have simply added after December 2001.
It's what she could have said. It's what she did say.
But poor draftsmanship should not create a bar to res judicata in subsequent.
I think it's an effort to bring the whistleblowing into the case. Right? She says she was injured because of racial hostility and whistleblowing, hostility to whistleblowers. That's her position. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Rosenblatt. Mr. Coffey?
May it please the Court, good morning. I'm Patrick Coffey and counsel for the Board of Trustees for the University of Illinois. With respect to your inquiry, Your Honor, the dismissal of the action brought by Cole as a relator resolves Cole's ability to stand in the shoes of the government and prosecute that claim. It did not resolve in any way or dismiss the ability of the government to bring that type of claim. Now, they had decided long ago not to intervene and prosecute the action, but the dismissal order at the district court level addressed solely Ms. Cole's position and her ability to prosecute that claim standing in the shoes of the government. I hope that addresses the issue.
At least an answer.
With respect to the position that's been advanced by Cole, the idea that a transaction is determined by the cause of action just seems to me to disregard the jurisprudence of this court dealing with the doctrine of res judicata. Res judicata, and while this court has noted, may not have always been clearly identified as a standard. It all clearly turns on the transactional test and the issue being whether or not there are common and material facts between the two actions. In this instance, by the way, we have no argument. There's not been any issue as to the prior judgment on the merits, nor has there been any issue as to the identity of the parties, which I think also relates to the question you had raised, Judge Mannion. The question is there an identity here between the circumstances that have been alleged? And as Judge Posner had just noted, very clearly, and as we had set out in the briefs showing the two complaints, there's no doubt that the racial harassment or the racial discrimination that's alleged, as well as the retaliation, all flow out of this set of circumstances where Cole was alleging that there had been these improper activities involving the billing for pharmaceutical goods in the operation of the business. There is just, on the face of these two complaints, there's no question but that these are the identical circumstances raised in both instances. As to the argument that these are different transactions, I think Judge Posner, again, has it exactly right, that the attempt here has been to take the earlier set of circumstances involving the very same facts and to suggest now under a different theory of recovery that there is a new chance, a second bite at the apple, if you will, under the guise of the False Claim Act. And again, in this instance, the jurisprudence of the court has been quite clear. There was an opportunity to bring all of these claims in the first action. That opportunity was passed. And you don't have the opportunity at this stage to either suggest that you can rewrite the complaint or unring that bell, if you will, in terms of pulling back from and deeming alleged facts not to be relevant. In terms of the standard, as you look at the race discrimination retaliation allegations in the first 2002 lawsuit and then the whistleblower and False Claim Act case filed in 2003, the district court concluded that they both arose out of the same core of operative facts. As I've indicated, as you compare the two pleadings, certainly the allegations appear to be essentially identical. The only difference being that the theory of recovery is different in the second action, predicated upon this False Claim Act notion and her attempt to then seek a recovery. The other issue that, of course, is here is whistleblowing and retaliation are raised in both actions, and there's never been any notion or suggestion that the facts are in any way different. They are the very same claims raised in both actions. And
does the record show when she was transferred?
There were no, Judge, in response to the question, there were no new acts alleged in the second lawsuit. And indeed, given the time frame, she had been the alleged mistreatment or retaliation had occurred prior to the all of these events had occurred prior to the filing of the original lawsuit, and then were, of course, you know, there wasn't anything new or different.
Mr. Rosenblatt, I said the original lawsuit, the discrimination consisted of racial slurs, but that the personal damages she wants now in this suit is for being transferred to another pharmacy. So I'm curious when the date of the transfer relative to in relation to the date of the second suit.
It had occurred prior to the filing of the first and then second lawsuit, Your Honor. And indeed, there was, at least in the briefing, a suggestion that this was a case akin to the Herman case that this court had looked at and had appreciated that there are circumstances where similar facts can create separate causes of action. In that instance, there had been a Title VII case. That case was filed by the plaintiff. There was a later case filed under COBRA, and the court looked at that and made the assessment that there were similar facts, but the two of them didn't turn on the same circumstances for purposes of res judicata. There was actually an analysis in the case of the but-for proposition that had been applied in that case, and an assertion of or a consideration of a analysis where a plaintiff that had been improperly fired walks out the door and slips on the banana peel, and is there's relationship, it followed from the termination, but for purposes of res judicata, should there be, you know, connection and relationship? This court, I think, should consider the facts that these circumstances, all of the alleged facts, involve the same these are the same parties or the same events in the same time frame. This is not that Cole walked out the door, slipped on a False Claim Act case with new factual circumstances that came to her attention and then served as the basis for the second lawsuit. This is the very same set of operative facts, if you will, to draw on the cases and the terms that have been used. Finally, we don't think from a policy standpoint that there's been any basis offered for purposes of moving away from the transaction test, and we believe that the district court judge had applied it correctly in all respects.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Coffey.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So, Mr. Rosenblatt, your time had expired, but we'll give you a minute if you have anything further.
I just want to bring up the one more point. The false claim allegations, which really we didn't take so much time on the first case, are totally separate from any retaliation or harassment issue. The false claim allegations deal with the submission by the defendant of false claims to the governments, the state of Illinois and the federal government. There are no factual overlaps. It's not the same core of operative facts, and certainly at least those counts should not be dismissed on res judicata grounds.
And she's eligible to be the Quitan plaintiff for that?
Yes, we believe so.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Rosenblatt and Mr. Coffey.